The following program is a co-production of University of Illinois Extension and willag.org. It features Gary Schnicke's presentation from the November 24th Farm Assets Conference held in Normal, Illinois.
I'm going to talk a little bit about crop insurance 2014, just a few unfinished businesses for 2014, and then we're going to move into 2015. In 2015, while we're going to be talking about some changes, I think we're going to come down to saying, basically, if you liked your crop insurance product last year, you probably don't want to change it too much, even though we'll have a couple other products available. Again, probably not making too many changes moving into 2015, but we'll get there. Let's start with some unfinished business for 2014, and the one thing that I wanted to point about 2014 is that obviously most of you have your yields out or yields or harvesting done, so you'll know your yields. And just because you've had an exceptionally good yield or a good yield, you may not want to forget about crop insurance this year. And just to give you a feel on corn, our projected price was $4.62. Our harvest price turned out to be $3.39. That is actually obviously a sizable drop from spring to harvest. And your yield could have went up and you still got a crop insurance payment. Just to give you an example there, at 85%, 1.13 is a factor. You have a trend-adjusted APH of 190 bushels per acre, or take your APH, whatever it is, multiply it by 1.13. If you have a 85% coverage level, the resulting yield is the break-even yield, and in this case, it is 214 bushels per acre. At 190 bushel APH yield or trend-adjusted APH yield, your yield is less than 214 bushels per acre. There will be a payment there. Don't know how many payments there will be in Central Illinois. There can be some. There will be some other places in the world. Maybe not a large payment, but still something that you don't want to forget about. Similarly for soybeans. Here it is for soybeans. $11.36 was the projected price for this year. Harvest price turned out to be $9.65. Again, looking at that 85% coverage level, because of the price drop, if you have the same yield as your trend-adjusted yield, you are below, actually. So if we had a 50-bushel APH yield or trend-adjusted APH yield, 85% coverage level, one's the factor. So if we have something below 50-bushel in our actual yield, there will be a payment there this year. Again, obviously, those payments or those yield multiples go down as those coverage levels go down as well. So even though we've had pretty good yields this year, particularly for corn, don't forget about crop insurance, and the date to make those final claims is coming up here in December. That's 2014, and now let's turn to 2015. And the first thing to note about 2015 is that we're likely to have lower projected prices for 2015. In 2014, we had a $4.62 projected price for corn. And if we were setting that projected price today, which we aren't, obviously we have to wait till February to do that, and it will be based on the December 2015 futures contract settlement prices during February. But if we were setting that today, roughly the projected price would be $4.10. $4.14 the last I checked. But $4.10. And obviously that is lower than that $4.62 price in 2014, and much lower than the prices in 2011, 2012, and 2013. $6.01 was the 2011 price, $5.68, 2012, and $5.65, the 2013 price. So we're coming down in prices there. Obviously, that will then impact the guarantee levels that we have available from crop insurance in 2015 relative to 2014. And again, just to give you a feel for what that might look like, Here we have projected 2015 revenue guarantees. So this would be a revenue guarantee, minimum revenue guarantee for RP for 2015 if we had a $4.10 projected price and 190 bushel APH yield. So these would be the minimum guarantees if, in fact, the projected price turned out to be $4.10. If that were the case, harvest price was below that, and we selected RP, this would be the guarantee. If the harvest price was above that, those guarantees would be higher. Again, looking at those, $746 was the guarantee at 85% in 2014. We would be looking something at $662 in 2015. So, again, the projected price, if we were setting that today, less than what we were looking at in 2014. Again, what we're doing here is lowering those guarantees. So we're moving forward, you know, in 2010, 2011, and 2012, we could have bought crop insurance at levels that, if we had average cash rent, at least assured of a profit, most cost of production would be above 662 these days. $500 of non-line cost, probably. Add to it some sort of cash rent, and you're above that. So we're in the case where, again, if we were looking at crop insurance payments in 2015, we're probably in the case where we're looking at losses, and again, lower than where we were at in 2014. Another look at that is to take a situation where our actual yield is the same as our trend-adjusted yield or our guarantee yield. And here, bottom row there for corn, 85% of 410 is 349. So if we bought an 85% coverage level, harvest yield or actual yield turns out to be the same as our trend-adjusted APH, harvest price set in October would have to be below 339 before we get a crop insurance payment. So we were talking higher prices this year. We're going to be, again, 349 for the futures price if we were setting prices based on a 410 projected price, a 1010 soybean price. You see the numbers there. Again, all of that is to say that coming into next year, we will be, if we see projected prices at the levels that we're looking at today, at lower guaranteed levels and more risk moving into 2015. That probably actually is, if you look at the changes that are happening, that is probably the biggest change that is going to impact farmers and landowners as they buy crop insurance are the lower projected prices. There also will be three other changes as a result of the Farm Bill, and I'm going to talk about each one of these a bit here. 2015 crop insurance choices, the Farm Bill that passed in 2014 are going to have these three impacts. First of all, conservation compliance is going to be you're going to have to be in conservation compliance for highly erodible farmland. To be eligible for the subsidies associated with crop insurance, you will have to be in conservation compliance. This year will be the first time you will have to have the ability to drop a low yield from your APH. We don't know a lot about this yet. This was actually something put in place more for Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas farmers, but it gives the ability to drop a low yield from the APH. Presumably there's going to be a charge associated with that if you choose to drop a yield from the APH. If county yields are below a certain level, you will be able to drop yield from APH. Whether or not we take that or look at that
would like to see the rates associated with those and what that dropping that yield will be. Again, that will be implemented this year in 2015. We'll know more about what that will cost in about a week. And actually, this week is a big week for RMA. It's when they release all the 2015 rates. So you can begin to calculate the premiums for 2015 for corn and soybeans. That happens later this week, so we'll know how much that cost. The other thing that happens this year is that we're going to have the introduction of supplemental coverage option. And I'm going to spend some time talking through what supplemental coverage option is and go through that. And that is a new crop insurance product that you will have available to you. And I'm going to spend the next slides telling you what supplemental coverage option looks like and give you an example of what it will cost and what it will do in McLean County, Illinois, for corn. Supplemental coverage option is a new crop insurance product that was made available as a result of the 2014 Farm Bill. 2015 will be the first year that you have to choose it. You had wheat policies if you're from Southern Illinois, or if you had wheat policies, some of you may face this choice already. Supplemental coverage option is available for wheat. And it will be available for corn and soybeans in all counties of Illinois. Basically, what supplemental coverage option does is an SCO. It provides county protection, and that's a key word here. County protection from 86% down to the coverage level of your combo product. So let me give you an example here. Most people in this room are probably taking RP at an 80 or 85% coverage level. Some 75, 80, and 85% will catch most people in the room. I'm going to pick 80%. Let's say you're buying RP 80%. You could buy SCO. If you buy SCO, you have one option, buy it. And if you buy SCO and you had RP 80%, you would have a policy that provided protection from 86% down to 80%. The key thing about that policy, though, is it's going to be triggered. That 86 to 80% band is what happens at the county level. So, county level, from 86 to 80%, if the county revenue is below a guarantee for RP, 86%, let's say the county revenue actually turns out to be 80%, the SCO product would pay. If county revenue is not below that guarantee, it won't pay. So it adds this level of protection above it, but it's based on what happens at the county. In some respects, it's like ARP or GRIP, but in one important aspect, it is not. ARP or GRIP is you have a yield multiple in there. You can buy up so it makes higher payments. This one will not. If it triggers, it triggers, and that's it. So you will have guarantee that's based on what happens at the county. To be eligible for SCO, there's a couple of things that have to happen. One is that SCO has to be available in the county that you're in. If you're in corn, if you grow corn and soybeans, SCO is available for every county of Illinois. So if you're in Illinois, you have SCO available for you for corn and soybeans. If you're in wheat, or if you grow wheat, you see the counties up there, the blue counties are the ones that had SCO products available to them in 2014. primarily southern Illinois for Illinois, but with a few counties in northern Illinois, and I don't know why how they got selected, but they were selected. So SCO has to be offered. Second thing is that to be eligible for SCO, you cannot have taken the program choice called ARC, Agricultural Risk Coverage. So if you choose ARC on an FSA farm, you will not be eligible to take SCO. So that's sort of the kicker in this whole thing, is you're making your commodity program choices, which will be talked about today by Jonathan Kappas. If you choose ARC, you will not be eligible for SCO. The unfortunate thing, I guess, for many of you out there is that we're going to suggest in many cases that ARC's the one that you should select because of, particularly for soybeans. Soybeans almost seems like a no-brainer. You take ARC County for soybeans. Corn, you can sort of make a case for ARC County and PLC. But if you take ARC County, SCO will not be available to you. The third thing you have to do is you'd have to take the combo product, YP, RP, or RP with exclusion. So if you're taking ARP or the group plans, or the old group plans, now the RP plans, the group insurances, the county level insurances, you are not eligible for SCO. You must be on a farm level program. That's the eligibility. And by the way, again, coming back, if you have a farm, if you're a farmer and have multiple FSA farms, which most of you will, many of you may split your program choice so that on, if you have 10 FSA farms, 8 of them will go into ARC County for corn, 2 of them would be going to PLC. Those 2 farms that went into PLC, you would be eligible for SCO on those 2 farms. So even if you're thinking about splitting that decision, SCO will be available to you. I'm going to give an example here, and hopefully this concreteness will make this SCO a little bit more easy to understand. Since we're in McLean County, Illinois, I'm going to give you a McLean County example. We're going to have a 185 bushel per acre trend-adjusted APH yield and a 410 price. Based on that, and I'm going to say we're going to take RP at 80%. So if we do that, the guarantee for RP at 80% would be $607 per acre, which is 185 times 410 times 80. There will also be an SCO guarantee if you took SCO, and it's APH yield times 410 times 0.86, 86% coverage level. So take SCO, you've got 2 guarantees, 652 for SCO in this case and 607 for RP. So between 687 and 607, that band of revenue there, what's going to trigger payments is what happens at the county level. Anything below 607 is going to be triggered at the farm level. So in the way it is today. Here, this slide shows coverage levels from 60%, 65%, all the way up to 85%. And it shows the RP guarantees, and those go, or excuse me, let's start with the SCO guarantees, and they are not going to change depending on the coverage level there from 60 to 85% is the underlying coverage level on the RP product. SCO guarantee does not change. It's always 86% of the trend-adjusted yield times 410. RP guarantee will change. And the lower you go, the lower the guarantee. The final column gives you the maximum SCO payment, which is the SCO guarantee minus the RP guarantee. So in this example, if we have an 80% coverage level, 652 is the SCO guarantee, RP guarantee is 607, $45 is the maximum payment on SCO. If, under that scenario, if county revenue was 78% of the county guarantee, you would get all of that SCO payment. So once you're below that, so if we have a 86% product, we had an 85% shortfall, or county revenue turned out to be 85%, we had a 1% shortfall, the only place you would get the maximum payment would be under an 85% RP guarantee. 80% you would get roughly one-sixth of that payment. So you're putting this county level product at the top, and as you lower the coverage level under the RP product, you increase the maximum or the more of the payment that comes from SCO. How much does this cost you? Now let me give you an example here. We don't have 2015 rates for RP yet, but we do have 2015 rates for SCO. So I'm going to give you a sort of a mix here. In a week I can do this exactly right, but the RP program premiums I'm showing here are using 2014 rates, but I set it at a 410 projected price just to get us close to where we're currently looking at. Showing enterprise units here, and this is so that 85% RP premium is $13.42 per acre. That's what the farmer pays for RP, given a 410 price, and I'm obviously assuming that the 2015 rates are equal to 2014. That's going to change some. I don't know which way, but this will give you a feel. 80% $654. 302 would be the 75%. 174 would be the 70%. I'm going to take off the right side of this and then put up SCO premiums on there, just so you get a feel for what this is going to cost. Here are SCO premiums. If you bought 60% RP, SCO would go from 86% down to 60%, cost $16 per acre. 80% would cost $6 per acre. 85% would cost $1 per acre. You can buy 86% to 85%. Cost you one buck. Your crop insurance agent will love to do that policy for you, but you can do it. So, and by the way, I don't know why they did this, but SCO premiums will be rounded to the nearest dollar. Don't know why, but that's not a mistake up there. All right, you add those two together, you'll see over there SCO plus RP, $14.42, 80% $12.34. 75%, 1302, so on and so forth, all the way down. You'll notice that if you're looking at a SCO product, all of those SCO premiums cost at least the same amount as RP at 80%. I would expect that across, this is one county, but I would expect that all across Illinois. If you're looking at SCO strategies as a way to cheapen up premium, it's not going to do it for you. And again, if you take a RP at a 60% coverage level, you do not have an option on SCO. You got to take it from 86% down to 60%. It will cost you $16. You'll pay 82 cents for the RP policy, $16.82 for the package. So the package is going to at least cost you as much, in most cases, as an 80% crop insurance or a policy. So, if you're looking at this as a way to lower premiums,
below 80%, probably not going to do it. This is for enterprise units. When I look at it for basic units, it's basically really similar to that as well. Now I want to give you a feel for how often in history this would have paid. And these lines show here, go back the years, and what we did here was just calculated the payments, the blue lines. If it's above zero, let's say it's 5%, that would mean that there was a 5% loss generated by SCO. So if you had bought 86% down to 80%, you would have, and at 5%, you would have gotten most of that SCO protection. Looking back over there, you'll notice some big years there. 2012 would have been a big year in McLean County, our drought. 1988 would have been a big year, our drought. But most, and in fact, SCO will pay in 40% of the years. So 40% of the years, if history is a guide, 40% of the time, SCO will make a payment, 86%. Most of the payments, though, are going to be between 0 and 5%. And if you look at those bars, most of the time it's between 0 and 5%. And actually, only in 14% of the years was that loss greater than 5%. So once you begin getting RP 80, if you would go to RP 75%, there's very few years in which that whole thing is going to trigger. Again, history is a guide here, just giving you a feel for the times that SCO would have made payments had it existed in the past. So, will SCO strategies pay more than RP, which is sort of the question that this a lot of this comes down to. And a lot of that comes down to the subsidies involved in these products. SCO is subsidized at 65% of the premium. So if RMA estimates that the payments from this product will be a dollar, the subsidy would be 65 cents, the farmer would pay 35 cents. You can see there, enterprise units at an 85% coverage level has a 53% subsidy level, 80%, 68%. So you get to this 80% coverage level with enterprise units, and the subsidy is actually higher at lower coverage levels on the enterprise unit than under SCO. It's not quite the same under basic and optional, only at the very low coverage levels. If we look at this, what this comes down to, if you compare buying RP 85% versus RP, it looks like the best level from just a payment standpoint would be RP 80% plus SCO. And over time, you might be able to expect $5 more in payments using SCO versus RP 85%. And by the way, if you like ARP, it would probably pay more than either one of those. So where does that leave us? Here's where I think that this leaves us. When you have an 85% coverage level, there's not a lot that SCO will do to you that will increase your risk protection. I mean, you could buy SCO and get a 1% increase in your guarantee. It's going to be triggered at the county, but you could get a 1% increase in your guarantee. If we have an 85% coverage level available to you, it's not likely to do much from a risk management standpoint. That's different than if you're growing wheat, where you only have a 75% coverage level. Second point is that if you might expect $5 more from RP, but your risk protection from that's probably going to be a bit less.
The other thing that you'll have to note is if you reduce RP coverage level as a result of buying SCO, if you ever have preventive planning, your preventive planning payments will be less as a result of buying SCO. Frankly, from a standpoint of most corn and soybean farmers out in Illinois, my opinion, this isn't a big deal. You can get you may be able to generate a little bit more money with RP plus SCO, but it's likely to be more than offset by what can happen in Arc County. And there isn't really a lot of additional risk protection offered by SCO that you can't get by going up to that 85% coverage level. So, stated another way, I wouldn't, when you're making a commodity program decision, probably wouldn't let this SCO product drive that decision. Make that decision based on the merits of Arc County and PLC. And this decision, if you take an RP 85% before, there's not a lot. There's almost a nil increase in risk protection that you could get by adding SCO if you kept it at 85%.